Amen. All right. Hey, how many of you guys heard of this saying? I think you have, but let's just clarify. It goes like this. Fool me once, shame on
you.
Fool me twice, shame on
me.
That's pretty familiar. But how many of you guys have heard this one? And I quote, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me 10,000 times, and you're probably a TV weatherman. Have you noticed that? These guys never get it right. Are you kidding me? He's like, come on, right? But here's a new one. Here's the latest one in light of recent events. It goes like this. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me over the last 3 years consistently nonstop, and you probably work for the COVID pandemic people. Have you learned that one yet? These guys are pathological liars. They never tell the truth, and nothing they say is what it really is, including this. They not only fool people into taking the Pfizer and the Moderna shots, but there was another one that they said, oh, but at least this one's safe. It was the J&J or the AstraZeneca. And that's what they told people. Okay, yeah, maybe those other ones, but at least you got the other ones that were safe and effective. Shame on us for believing anything from these guys. Because sure enough, it's now coming out. Every single one of those four shots were gene editors with not good results. Watch this. It's now coming out.
We're still learning what's in the C19 bioweapon shots, referred to as vaccines against COVID. Every day, people ask me if the Johnson & Johnson shot is safer than the others. Tonight, you're going to learn about the horrific mission of these shots and the genetic codes embedded in them that are going to punish humanity for generations to come. I recall the night that President Trump made those comments at his rally, touting the former owner of Johnson & Johnson's pharmaceutical company. And to be honest with you, it turned my stomach, the insensitivity of it, while people were out here with permanent disabilities and many had lost their loved ones after several days of taking the J&J shot. And I still can't reconcile his actions. And I always wondered why there were other companies that were approved for these COVID-19 shots when one or two certainly had the majority of willing recipients covered. But it turns out that every company most likely has its own job to perform in this mass genocide operation, and Johnson & Johnson was no different. Well, tonight, attorney Todd Callender is back now that his team has uncovered a stunning patent that has been granted by the U.S. government and is in full activation in the mission of the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 injections. And Todd joins me now. So when we say that the J&J, it's not an mRNA type of injection, right? But it is still, it's to
right.
Say gene therapy sounds strange because
it absolutely is. So there's really two ways amongst the four people, companies
sure.
that brought forth their vaccines. They're legal people. You have AstraZeneca, you have Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, Moderna. Moderna and Pfizer used mRNA as their mechanism to create gene modification, gene adjustments in the users. The AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson companies used adenovirus. The adenovirus, the way that they're making a synthetic protein. So rather than messenger RNA, they have a synthetic DNA. And that's what the adenovirus is for. And those are, in fact, modified genes. So some of these genes that you see in here are synthetic ones, meaning that they were created for a specific purpose. The only purpose I can think of is to make people sick and kill them. It's not just in the J&J shots, but also in the Pfizer, Moderna, and AstraZeneca ones. In other words, these are cocktails of poison, and they were designed to be cocktails of poison. This whole thing is not for your benefit. It is to kill you. It's to make you sick and to kill you over time.
But not right away, and not everybody right away.
Right. Okay. Think about it. If you're going to kill 7 billion people, because that's the goal of this enterprise, wouldn't you want to kill just enough to make sure that as people are dying, the ones that are still alive can dispose of the bodies for you? Think of what a horrible mess you would have if everybody starts dying at the same time. So, yeah, the answer is we've seen other proteins like this that were designed to give people pancreatic cancer 20 years down the road. So you're getting some vaccine, NMR, or some other one, and in it are these ingredients. SV40 was one that Maurice Villeman actually came up with and bragged about, laughed about giving people cancer in the future. So these are like little time bombs. They're actually created for the purpose of creating disease later. And, of course, if you were Big Pharma, Wouldn't you love that for somebody to live long enough while they're sick that you could suck out every last dollar from their pockets?
Yeah, it's really horrible to think about.
And yet, nonetheless, we have to deal with this because silence and fear is what enables them to get away with what? Global mass murder on a scale that's unbelievable, making what Hitler did with the last Holocaust look like chump change. I said it before, I'll say it again. If you ever wondered how you would have reacted during Hitler's 1930s Germany when he was doing it last time, now you know. And how many people, even professing Christians, are still to this day keeping their mouth shut, putting their head in the sand, and acting like this isn't really going on. It doesn't help anybody, and it enables these guys to get away with mass murder, just like last time. In fact, speaking of which, that's why the last times we've been looking at this guy, Klaus Schwab. Klaus Schwab is the big guy, the big linchpin, one of them, on the planet, who's promoting this lying, sick, murderous, satanic behavior. And the reason why we're dealing with it as Christians is because I'm convinced, based on research and the scripture, that he is building, whether he wants to call it that or not, he's building the Antichrist kingdom, the very thing that God warned about in his word 2,000 years ago. It's being built before our very eyes. And that shouldn't be a surprise because Klaus Schwab's dad, Eugene Schwab, as you can see there to the right, he was buddies with Hitler. Okay, this is the world that Klaus grew up in when all this stuff was going on last time. Okay, and of course, you can't call it the rise of the Fourth Reich, what he's building to the planet, because he's taken what Hitler did in Germany, he's bringing it to the whole globe. You can't call it the Fourth Reich, that's too obvious. So he calls it the Fourth Industrial Revolution, or the Great Reset. He's going to reset the planet. And his own words on tape, in print, in videos, all the time. What does he say? What was the event that started his new vision for the planet? Hitler's basically rise of the Fourth Reich. The plandemic represents a rare but narrow opportunity, okay, to reflect, reimagine, and, quote, reset our world. Basically, Hitler's agenda now brought to the planet. Now, that's not a conspiracy theory. We've been taking a look at the proof of that. We've already seen Klaus Schwab in the current Holocaust is what's going on. His murderous motive, just like Hitler, we're going to see that again today, useless, worthless people that came straight out of Hitler's Germany. He also grabbed control of the global food supply, which is going to culminate in the seven-year tribulation. Global food murderers, Hitler used that to kill people off, make them dumb and docile. Genetic food murderers, and that's when we began to get into Hitler's eugenics program, still there, okay, and they began to mess with the food supply. Also, the genetic altering technology is not coming. It's already here, already being used, which is leading to what? A genetic altering apocalypse. These guys know that if they keep this up, there may not be any true humans left. And it didn't work well last time. It ain't going to work well this time. And they know it. And we already saw that. Then again, we saw they're genetically altering not just animals, not just insects and plants, but what? Us as humans. And if you were here last time, guess what? It just keeps getting worse you go. They are genetically mixing us as humans. And we saw that, again, not coming, already being done with two types of technology. With CRISPR, again, they are genetically mixing and matching us with genes, taking in, popping out, doing all kinds of stuff. Okay, that was bad enough. The second way is they're making chimeric humans, right? They're literally mixing and matching humans, not coming, already being done, with animals, okay? And again, why do we need to know this? Because Jesus said, listen, as it was in the days of who? Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Right? So if Jesus is, how do you know it's getting close to his return? You're going to see a repeat of the Noah's day. What is that? That's exactly what's going on right now with Klaus and the gang bringing it to the whole planet, a repeat of the days of Noah, the Genesis 6 account, the Nephilim, the hybridization of humanity. It is in high gear. Unfortunately, these guys are wicked and evil, and they just don't stop, which leads us to now the 10th thing we're going to take a look at, and Klaus Schwab and the genetic what? Copying of humans. What do you mean? What do you mean copy? You mean like clones? Yes. Absolutely. Now, me personally, some people have wondered, hey, Pastor Billy, how do you get so much done, man? Where do you get all this energy? How do you get? Well, I've been relying on God's pattern of cloning. It's called, I have a son. His name is Billy. He's about done cooking. He's also affectionately known, at least by me, as the crone clone. Right? But that's okay because that's God's design. What these guys are doing, it is not God's design. And the wicked plans they have for clones, oh, it is horrible. And again, this is the same kind of behavior that God punished the fallen angels back in the Genesis 6 account who inspired this kind of hybridization, messing with God's design, okay, that we saw last time, not only in 2 Peter, it's mentioned again in the book of Jude. Let's take a look at that. Jude chapter 1, and the reason why it's chapter 1 is because There's only one chapter of Jude. So if you find Jude 3, throw it away. That's not in the Bible. But Jude, verses 3 through 7, let's go ahead and stand as we read God's holy word. Jude 3 through 7. And again, what you're basically going to see is not only people say, oh, that Nephilim thing, you can't really rely on that. That really wasn't going on. That was just in the Genesis account. Maybe, no, we have another witness. We saw last week in 2 Peter, talks about the same thing. You got a third witness here in Jude saying the exact same thing, right? This really went on, and guess what? God judged it. And he's going to judge it again. I'm telling you, that's what these guys are doing. But Jude, verse 3, starts off with this. Though you all, and he says this. He says, dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you, listen, to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. What do you mean contend for the faith? Because guess what was happening then is even happening today. False teachers are coming in the church. That's why even today we have to contend for the faith, because they're messing it up. They're bringing in false teaching. They're denying Jesus Christ. And he's going to say, they're even bringing in this license, this sexual immorality. This is like that God accepts anything. Like, hey, you know, you can be involved in all kinds of immoral behavior, and we're not saved by our behavior, but it's perfectly fine. No, it's not. And that's what he says back then. This is, listen to what he says. We contend for the faith. But why? Because listen, for certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have what? Secretly slipped in among you. He's talking about the church, right? They are what? Godless men. And here's what they do. They change the grace of our God into a license for immorality. And they what? Deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Though you already know all this, and he's going to basically remind you, that's what's happening. They're secretly coming to the church, right? They're promoting all kinds of immoral behavior that God does not promote. Hello, what's that rhyme with? The whole LGBT, transgender, in churches today, right? And they're even denying Jesus Christ, their sovereign Lord, so it's a false gospel of whatever. Okay, that's happening today. He says, but listen, here's the good news. He's going to judge it. All the false teachers today, all these false gospels, all these godless, wicked people who have snuck into the church, God's watching the whole thing. And all you're doing is what the Bible says, you are storing up the wrath of God. You better get saved. But if you don't, he's watching it all. And then he gives you two examples again of guess what? Why? Because I'm the same yesterday, today, forever. If I didn't like sin in the past, I'm not going to like it today, including false teachers, false gospel, and fake Christians. And here's the two examples. Again, it just so happens to be the exact same two we saw last week in 2 Peter, going back to the Genesis account. Here's what he says. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that what? The Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed what? Those who did not believe, the fakers. He knew the whole time. And he gives you another example of his faithfulness. He's seen what's going on. And the what? Angels who did not keep their position of authority, but abandoned their own home. He's talking about the fallen angels that Genesis 6 cohabitated with women and produced a hybrid offspring called the Nephilim. And what did they get for that? These, he, God, has kept in darkness, bound with what? Everlasting chains for the judgment on the great day. Now, in a similar way, here he brings it up again. Wonder of wonders. In a similar way, what? Who did he mention again? Just like last week. Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. Literally, they went after, it says, their strange flesh. I'll explain that in a second. In the context, their strange flesh. And what's the, what do they get for that? They serve as an example of those who what? Suffer the punishment of what? Eternal fire. You may be seated if you can. But again, God's basically telling us, hey, listen, I see what's going on. Nobody's going to get away with nothing. The only way out of escaping God's judgment is right there through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Right? That's it. Period. But if you want to maintain being a false teacher, preaching a false gospel, being a fake person, God, you ain't fool. You might fool man, but you ain't fooling God. Right? And if he didn't like this wicked behavior back then, he ain't gonna prove it today. And he mentions again the two things. Number one, Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah, not just sexual morality, but strange flesh. Literally what that strange flesh means there in the Greek, it means of a different kind, heteros, like heterosexual. Okay, the heterosexual is a male and a female, different kind. If it was alas, that would mean of the same kind, right? That's why it's homosexual, it's the same kind, which is what God forbids. So they went after strange flesh. They went after a different kind. They went against God's design. And that's the sin of homosexuality and lesbianism and, dare I say, transgenderism, the whole LGBT thing. What is God's design? Male, female, marriage, procreate. That's it. Amen. All these other ones says, nope, we're going after strange flesh. We're going after a different kind, a different way. Male and male, female, female, make up whatever you want to do. That was what it means. Now, listen, that's why Jesus said, you want a sign I'm coming back? It's going to be like the days of Noah and Lot. What was going on in Lot's day? Before he was taken out, before the judgment came down. The whole LGBT thing. And again, remember, I say this every time. In the Genesis text there with Sodom and Gomorrah, it wasn't just homosexuality. It was pedophilia. Because it says there the little boys went with the men to go get the men. That's pedophilia. That's another thing going on. But here's my point. Again, just like we saw last week, coupled with that is what? The Genesis 6 account. Right? They went after strange flesh. Outside of God's design. You have an angel kind who then wanted to mix and match humankind. That's out of God's design. That's why it's coupled with Sodom and Gomorrah, right? And so what's the point? What do they get for that? Is God just going to let it go on forever, this kind of stuff? No! They invited the judgment of God. And he judged them. He judged Sodom and Gomorrah. He judged the angels who went after strange flesh, just like that, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. So guess what? God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he didn't like it then, he judged it then. If we see a repeat of either one of those things, what's going to happen? He's going to judge it. And that's all that these guys are doing, including Klaus and the gang. They're repeating the days of Noah, the hybridization of mankind, the tweaking of God's design, literally going after strange flesh. And all it's doing is inviting the judgment of God. And it's a sign that Jesus Christ is coming back. Now, for proof of this, watch this. And specifically on the cloning aspect. I'm going to share with you again, Klaus Schwab's science advisor, and listen to what he says. Again, their arrogance that they can produce, listen, human, not just minds, but bodies. But he says, he tells you what they're going to do to those who don't go along with their tweaking of humanity. But watch this. This is crazy.
Evolution of the 19th century, what humanity basically learned to produce was all kinds of stuff like textiles and shoes and weapons and vehicles. And this was enough for very few countries that underwent the revolution fast enough to subjugate everybody else. What we're talking about now is like a second industrial revolution, but the product this time will not be textiles or machines or vehicles or even weapons. The product this time will be humans themselves. We are basically learning to produce bodies and minds. Bodies and minds are going to be, I think, the two main products of the next wave of all these changes. And if there is a gap between those that know to produce bodies and minds and those that do not, then this is far greater than anything we saw before in history. And this time, if you're not part of the revolution fast enough, then you probably become extinct. Once you know how to produce bodies and brains and minds, so cheap labor in Africa or South Asia or wherever, it simply counts for nothing. Again, I think that the biggest question in maybe in economics and politics of the coming decades will be what to do with all these useless people. I don't think we have an economic model for that. My best guess, which is just a guess, is that the problem is more boredom. And what to do with them, and how will they find some sense of meaning in life when they are basically meaningless, worthless? My best guess at present is a combination of drugs and computer games.
Good thing we don't see people getting used to using drugs and playing video games. Hour after hour just becomes a way of life, and even that mindset of how he says they're going to deal with those who don't go along with their human tweaking, fourth industrial revolution, even that's already being put into play. But I really think that maybe if it goes that far, if God, I don't know how far we're going to be into this before God takes us out, but, and I know he's going to put a stop to this, but I believe that it isn't just, oh, if you don't want to be tweaked and become a non-human, maybe they'll start out with putting these worthless people on computer games and drugs just to keep them occupied. I think the other key word that he mentioned there was, you'll go extinct. I think they'll take the people out if they get that far. is what the issue is. And you're going like, well, where in the world these sickos, who do they think they are, number one? But where'd these sickos get this idea? This is Hitler's eugenics, folks. It only got as far as Germany because Hitler lost the war. Klaus grew up in this environment. He's bringing it to the planet. And notice who went right along, almost salivating over the opportunity to experiment on people. Notice who went along with Hitler. Watch this. This is crazy.
Healers by profession, doctors swear never to harm anyone. But in Nazi Germany, those traditionally charged with doing good took part in the persecution and the murder of millions of people.
The images are disturbing. Men, women, and children herded in masses to be tortured and killed at concentration camps.
You know, it's the worst case scenario.
But perhaps even more unsettling about the Holocaust is how the Nazi regime used science to legitimize genocide.
Scientists and doctors became very important to the Nazi regime as spreading this message to the people.
The message was anyone with physical or mental disabilities were biological threats unfit for life. That included inferior races, the Nazis called it, most notably Jews. And doctors, those traditionally charged with healing their patients, were recruited to help cleanse German society.
Well, the doctors were enthusiastic followers of the idea of eugenics and racial purity.
From 1933 to 1945, Nazi Germany carried out a campaign to purify the so-called master race by weeding out the weak and breeding the strong. Health professionals supported racial health policies that included mass sterilization, human experimentation, even euthanasia.
Doctors flocked to this movement and participated in it because it was an opportunity to do outstanding original research, unrestrained by society.
The unrestraint and lack of ethics gave doctors great power.
The propaganda and the pseudoscience that they engendered, they were able initially to get rid of people that they felt were not worthy of life.
Racial eugenics permeated German society. It later fueled the crimes against humanity.
Lethal injections, gas chambers, starvation, disease.
What's really astounding is how many people in the medical profession, for instance, or scholars, scientists, who should have known that this was something they shouldn't do to human beings and decided that it was okay.
You know, like we've been told the last 3 years with the COVID shots by this so-called medical professional. And the words that have been used, don't worry, it's safe and effective. The reason why we're seeing this again is because this is what happened in Hitler's day. It wasn't just that Hitler did it. It wasn't just his SS agents that were involved. And that is true. And all the horrible experiments that they did in the concentration camps, and that is true. It's what? Who not only went along with it, but willingly went along with it because it was their chance to do things you could never do to humans before. The same science, quote, medical establishment. That's why we're seeing what we're seeing. Unfortunately, in that environment, it's being repeated today. And that's why you need to call Holy Trinity Medical Practice, except... You wonder why God has us doing it. There's no way that's by chance. But this is what's going on. Even the same so-called community that we thought we could trust, just like back in Hitler's day, they're doing it again. And it's not by chance. Okay? Including, believe it or not, cloning. What did Yuval Noah Harari say in that interview? The Fourth Industrial Revolution, which is really the Fourth Reich, you know, they also call it the Great Reset, but it's not just the economic reset, it's a human reset. But he says in the last Industrial Revolution, the big revolution was to be able to crank out products, right? And it radically changed everything. That's our whole society. Consumerism. He said the fourth one, the next one, is what? We're going to be cranking out human bodies and minds. What? You can produce factories, not just products, but factories for people? And wait till you see the sick agenda that they have for that, okay? And this is really what's going on. But they're using the same premise, right? Because that sounds kind of freaky, starting to produce human factories of bodies and minds. Okay, that's a little freaky. So again, they're using the same lying methodology that we've seen with the other technology. It's called you warm me up like a frog in a pot. Just a little bit here, a little bit of a tweaking, right? Get you used to it for the bigger plans coming later. Okay? And they're doing the same thing, folks, believe it or not, with cloning. And the first way they're warming us up to it is, are you ready for this? You thought it was bad before? I'm not joking. Honey, could you please pass the cloned meat? These guys can't leave nothing alone. I mean, you're already messing with the food supply in a multitude of ways you've already seen, but what, now you're going to clone our food supply? Listen, not coming. Already being done. And dare I say, already being done. This was 15 years ago approved by the FDA. Did you know that? I didn't know that until I did the research. Watch this. This is crazy, okay?
After years of detailed study and analysis, the Food and Drug Administration has concluded that meat and milk from clones of cattle, swine, and goats, and the offspring of clones from any species traditionally consumed as food, are as safe to eat as food from conventionally bred animals.
What are the health risks?
We don't actually know, but we know the studies that the FDA has relied on so far can't tell you that. I suspect that it probably tastes quite similar. But that doesn't mean that there are no changes in the milk and that there are no changes in the meat that we need to be worried about.
But consumer groups have another big complaint, that the FDA won't require labeling of meat and milk from clones, so we'll never know if what we're buying is from those animals or not. The FDA wouldn't respond to that.
Gee, I wonder why. But hey, don't worry, because we can trust the medical establishment, the scientific community. I'm sure that cloned meat is safe and effective. Like the COVID shot thing? Yeah. Oh, and by the way, I mean, surely, come on. The FDA would never purposely approve of something that's going to hurt us or harm us, would they? And I quote, are you eating clone meat? That was 15 years ago, folks. That's archival footage. 15 years ago, it was approved by the FDA. And so listen to this article. Are you eating clone meat? Quote, 2 decades after the first clone mammal, consumers may well wonder whether they are drinking milk or eating meat from cookie-cutter cows or their offspring. The simple answer is, and I quote, probably. The fact is, there's no way to know for sure, say the experts. Without knowing it, people are probably eating meat from the descendants of clones that cannot be traced, said, listen, Pauline Constant, spokeswoman for the European Office of Consumer Associations in Brussels. Notice it's not wackyjoesconspiracyguy.org. This is in the industry. Quote, not even scientists can distinguish between a healthy clone from a conventionally bred animal, the regulatory agency said. Listen, there are no requirements to label meat or milk from a cloned animal or its offspring, whether sold domestically or abroad. You'll never know. And watch this. In December, Boya Life, B-O-Y-A-L-I-F-E, if you want to check this out, Boya Life's group knew cloning factory in China. Did you know there were cloning factories in existence? I didn't until I started doing the research. Cloning factory in China. The lead scientist and chief executive said this, and I quote, he would not shy away from cloning humans if regulations allowed it. Wait a second. Notice how quick it turns from, first we're going to do animals, who's next? Now, again, this is not a conspiracy theory. Check it out. This is an article back in 2015 mentioning China's building the world's biggest what factory? Animal cloning factory. They're cranking up bodies and it's starting with animals. But what did the guy, the chief executive, the lead scientist, what did he say from this factory? That's a factory right now that's been in existence. It opened in 2016, 7 years ago. That's cloning animals, a factory. What did he say? Quote, he would not shy away from cloning humans if regulations allowed it. What else are you doing around there in laboratories that we don't even know about? And what did Yuval Noah Harari mean when he says the new fourth industrial revolution is we're going to produce human bodies and minds? What are you talking about? But that was the first step, getting us used to it. The second step that getting us used to cloning, starting with animals, humans next, but you just got to work your way into it, is pets. How many guys don't eat your pets? Praise God, you don't eat your... Man, hardly any hands went up. The rest of you guys, I'm going to be watching you at the potluck barbecue. Right? But see, this one pulls on your heartstrings. Like, yeah, I don't want to eat clone meat. That's freaky. But wait a second. I can get Fluffy back. If I could just get Fluffy back. Okay, I'll accept cloning. And that's what it is. And believe it or not, cloning animals, okay, we got used to that way back in the Splash was in the 90s with Dolly. Remember that? Dolly the sheep made big headlines. But why did it go away after that? Well, we'll explain in a little bit. But let's take a look at Dolly in the 90s. Watch this.
Dolly the sheep was a sensation when she first appeared before the world. A scientific breakthrough, fascinating, but also menacing. Dolly was cloned by taking a body cell from sheep A, fusing that cell's DNA with an egg cell with its nucleus removed from sheep B. This fused cell developed into an embryo, which was placed in the uterus of a surrogate mother, sheep C. The resulting lamb, in this case Dolly, is a clone of sheep A. But back in 1997, Dolly seemed to raise more frightening issues. If we can clone a sheep, many asked, why not a human being?
Oh, wait a second. You just had to drop the bomb, didn't you? I mean, we weren't even talking about that. We're talking about cloning an animal, but you just had to... What's next? Humans. Warming you up to it. That's what's next. But I don't know if you noticed this, but after Dolly came out for a year or two, it was kind of big news. They talk about it, whatever. It kind of dissipated, went away. And aren't you glad that cloning of animals went away after that? No. Now, they got factories now. I just showed you the China thing. But listen to this. Already been done. They've cloned camels, carp, cats, cattle, coyotes, deer, frogs, dogs, fruit flies, as if we need more of those, goats, horses, house mice, can't get enough of those, monkeys, mules, pigs, ibex, rabbits, brown rats, sheep, and Arctic wolves. Yay! Dolly never went away. That was just the big splash. Ever since then, Dolly's the tip of the iceberg. They're cloning animals every time they can get their hands on. I think they're working out the bugs. Because the ultimate goal is we're going to, in the fourth industrial revolution, produce bodies and minds. Humans are going to come next, and that's it. But again, what do they say? Hey, no worries. You can trust the medical community, the scientific community. Cloning is safe and effective. No, it's not. Dolly, believe it or not, had some sisters. Let's take a look at what happened to them and her. Watch this.
Meet Debbie, Denise, Diana, and Daisy. They are identical. In fact, they are clones and are the exact same as the most famous sheep in the world, Dolly. Unlike their predecessor, they spent most of their lives outside. For security reasons, Dolly had to spend much of her life indoors. She was born in 1996 and was the very first mammal to be cloned. But she died at just 6 years old after developing osteoarthritis and a lung infection. It raised concerns cloned animals may age more quickly. When Dolly was born 20 years ago, many people feared the technology would be used to clone humans.
You did it again. We're not even talking about that. We're talking about cloning animals, but what'd you have to say? Just getting you used to it. Just warming you up to it. Humans are next. But what'd you see? This is not a safe and effective science. Are you kidding me? That's a lie. Right? They admit that it's got all kinds of complications, abnormalities. You're going to see some pictures of actually cloned animals. It does not go well at all. Freakish things come out, including other dangers like premature aging and disease, and you die. How many guys say that'd be a serious thing? Yeah, exactly. So again, this is not safe. In fact, we're being lied to, but all of this is warming us up. And I'm telling you, the big thing now, you're like, okay, so what? They got cloned meat. I'm just going to stay away from that. Well, how do you know? They don't even label it. Okay, fine. They cloned Dolly and sheep and it didn't go well. Oh, well, too bad for them. I'm telling you, they're going to pull us in and they're already starting it to, guess what? You can clone your pet. I mean, wouldn't that be awesome? And this is going to help us accept cloning technology because come on, who wouldn't want Fluffy or Fido back, right? In fact, Hollywood's been out there showing us this reality that is already here. With this movie premise, remember this movie? It was called The Sixth Day with Arnold, right? And it was all about not just animal cloning, but human cloning over 20 years ago, right? But remember this scene? Watch this. This is crazy.
What's up, honey? You look upset.
Oh, Adam, I just talked to the vet and they had to put Oliver to sleep.
What? He wasn't even that sick.
Oh, I know, but apparently he had some kind of, I don't know, highly infectious canine virus or something, and they had to put him down. It's the law.
Oliver was licking Clara's face this morning.
Don't worry, because I asked the same thing, and the virus is harmless to humans, so she's fine.
But this is going to break your heart, and you know that.
No, it won't. I want you to go down to Repet and get Oliver replaced. Thank you, Dorian and Clara. Thanks. No.
Welcome to Woodland Mall. Over 1,200 retail outlets to serve you. Food court, ground level.
Stop the cloning. Say no to Repet. Stop the cloning. Say no to Repet. Stop the cloning.
Welcome to
save your soul, man. God doesn't want you to go in there.
Don't go in there. Atheist.
Stop the cloning. Say no to Repet.
We can clone your four-legged loved one in just a few short hours. How can we do it? It all begins with the growing of blanks. Animal drones stripped of all characteristic DNA in embryonic tanks at the Repet factory.
Welcome to Repet, where love means no surprises. Your pet doesn't want to break your heart. Thanks to Repet, he doesn't have to. We can clone your four-legged loved one in just a few short hours. How can we do it? It all begins with the growing of blanks. Animal drones stripped of all characteristic DNA in embryonic tanks at the Repet factory. In stage two, your pet's DNA is extracted from a lock of fur or a drop of blood and then infused on a cellular level into the blank. In the final stage, using Repet's patented cerebral syncording process, all of your pet's thoughts, memories, and instincts are painlessly transplanted via the optic nerve. It's important to have your pet syncorded on a regular basis, and we'll do the syncording free at any Repet store. But if you've lost a pet that hasn't been syncorded, in most cases we can still take a postmortem syncording within 12 hours of your pet's demise. Your cloned pet is exactly the same as he was before, right down to the DNA, with all training and memories intact. You and your child will never know the difference. But cloning is just the beginning of the story here at Repet. We also offer many genetic engineering options to make your experience with your pet even better than before. Are you allergic to your cat? We can make your Repet cat hypoallergenic. Wish your dog were smaller or larger? We can do that too. And let's say you've just redecorated your home. We can coordinate your pet's colors and markings to match your new decorating scheme. Does your otherwise perfect pet have one or two behavior flaws? Does your cat scratch the furniture? Does your dog dig up the backyard? We can eliminate these unwanted behaviors at a slight additional cost. Welcome to Repet, where love means no surprises.
Over 20 years ago, we just thought it was for our entertainment. One day you could go to a store and with cloning technology, you can bring your pet back to life. Repet. Good thing that's just a crazy movie premise that's never going to see the light of day. It's already being done. There's already services to do just that here in the United States and abroad. And people are already taking advantage of that, including Barbara Streisand. Here's what she did with her dead dog. Watch this.
Barbara Streisand revealed in an interview with Variety that her two new puppies are actually clones of her dog Samantha, who passed away in 2017. Before Samantha passed, Barbara had cells taken from the dog's mouth and stomach for replicating purposes. Streisand said, "They have different personalities. I'm waiting for them to get older so I can see if they have her, Samantha's brown eyes and seriousness." Yeah, it deals with really tough ethical issues. You can clone a dog, that means you can clone a human being.
Yes. Yeah.
Wouldn't be surprised if next season we're on the stage talking about someone who wants to clone.
Instead of being frozen, we'll just clone them and then just bring them back now.
And then is it the good people that get cloned, just the rich people?
That's exactly what's going to happen. That's Klaus's vision. I'll get to that in a second. But again, notice how quickly, I mean, we're just talking about cloning animals, and now they're not coming, already being done. They're cloning pets, you know, to get us to go along. You can get your dog back, and it's already being done. It's already serving you. Well, hey, I don't have the money that Robert Streisand has. I'm outpriced. I can't ever, there's not going to be a Repet on every corner. And I quote, here's the current prices. It's getting reasonable for the average Joe. Quote, it costs $35,000 to clone a cat. Still a lot, but, you know, it's not $1 million. $50,000 for a dog. Now, stop right there. I don't want to cause a church split. Just saying, man. $85,000 for a horse. These are actually entities you can go to, even here in the United States, right now, to clone your pet. But no worries. They're telling us it's safe and effective. And you'll never know the difference. And it'll never turn into this movie scenario.
In the woods today, LA discovered a charming little landmark. The pet cemetery.
Place to bury our pets and remember them. Might seem scary, but it's not. Perfectly natural. Just like dying is natural.
The whole town's been using this place for generations. Folks make a kind of ritual out of it. There's something up there. Something that dates way back. Those woods belong to something else. Something.
That cat was dead.
That brings things back.
Church?
I know what you're thinking of doing. But they don't come back the same. I should never have shown you that place. Your child is not the only thing that will come back.
The barrier is broken. We have a second chance.
Sometimes dead is better.
Yeah, real funny. I agree. Sometimes dead is better. Stop messing with God's design. You really think it's not going to run into problems? Oh, they already are running into problems. This is the lie. Shame on you for listening to any of these guys in the medical scientific establishment that's doing these sicko eugenic experiments, including cloning. And I quote, Dolly, the first mammal to be successfully cloned, stunned the world when she was born in 1996, but her subsequent ill health, premature aging, and death at the age of 6 and a half raised doubts about the safety of the procedure that created her, i.e. cloning. Despite these issues, there are currently, listen, no regulations in place anywhere to deal with this technology or to ensure that it's being done humanely as possible, and there's been very little public debate as the technology has further developed, even to now they're making clone animal factories in China, and nobody's talking about it. And there's no regulation. In fact, in the research, I did a research, and I go, okay, surely there's laws preventing human cloning, let alone animal cloning. Almost every single state in the United States has no law on the books for human cloning for biomedical purposes, including cloning of children. This is in the U.S. And you got other countries like China and others, when they're communists, they're atheists, they don't care. But this is what's going on. And quote, while it may not move you to consider the plight of cats and dogs in pet cloning, quote, the technology does bring us closer to normalizing not just cloning but manipulation of other species, including, can you take a guess? Humans. Again, like a frog in a pot. First get used to it, animals, work out some of the bugs. Who's next? It's people. And once again, Hollywood has already prepared us for not just human cloning and making human clone factories, but for the same sick, twisted reason why Klaus and the gang said they're going to produce the new products in the future is human bodies and minds. And you know what the agenda is? It is so that they can have a cloned replica of themselves. They don't need, remember we saw this last week, they don't need to wait for the second coming of Jesus Christ in order to defeat death. And one of their methodologies is cloning themselves, growing that up into a factory, and then you, as a transhumanist, as an elite, when you get ready to die, then you transfer yourself into that clone. I'm not joking it. That's exactly the reality. In fact, that's that movie premise again, about 20 years ago. It was a movie called The Island. Exposed the whole agenda. Watch this.
Attention, residents. Welcome to the lottery spin. Jordan 2 Delta. You're moving out to the island. Transported to the world's last paradise.
I think they're gonna kill you.
Go to the island.
There is no island! Come on!
Two of our products have escaped.
Do not let him get away!
What was that?
I don't know!
But I want one.
Hold on!
This summer.
Tell me what's going on!
They're gonna come looking for you! Good job!
You're copies of people. But one of them gets sick and they need a new part, they take it from you. Yeah!
That whole movie was about clones who didn't realize they were clones. Two of the products escaped. Can't have that because you got the elites waiting for their clone when said time comes so they can harvest them either for their organs or their whole body. Produce bodies and minds. That's the next revolution. Now, of course, you can't say, hey, we're going to grow people like a crop and harvest them. That's too freaky. So believe it or not, they've relabeled it again. And there's two terms they use out there in the industry. You can check it out yourself. Two terms. One's called therapeutic cloning. The other one's called reproductive cloning. Because that sounds better, doesn't it? And let me define that. Therapeutic cloning involves cloning cells from a human for use in medicine or transplants. Reproductive cloning involves making the entire, quote, clone human instead of just the specific cells and tissues. Listen, so you can get the whole human body parts and their whole body if needed. And I will say this, because I've already started to hear in the Christian community, at least those who have the courage to deal with this reality of what these sickles are doing, but they're putting out another lie. And I encourage you, don't fall for it. And what they're doing is saying, yeah, okay, so cat's coming out of the bag. We're going to clone people. I really think they're already doing it, personally. But on a factory scale. And I'll show you proof in a second. But anyway, you think, well, that's just too crazy. There's just no way they're going to do that. Here's what they're doing. They're throwing out lies. They're getting ready to drop the bomb that this is really going on, not just animals, but now humans. But they're conditioning people to think that clones do not have souls. There's actually people debating this. I'm going like, what's the debate here? Man plays God. Man is not God. God is the author of life. Man can take a sperm and an egg and put them together, but who's the author of life? Who's responsible for creating the spark that causes the egg and the sperm to come together to create life? It's God. So just because you can clone it and mix and match, that doesn't make you God. But listen, if the spark does come to life, it came from God, and so guess what? It's a human. But they're already out there confusing the two, trying to, oh, no, it's not human. And it's the same lie they did with abortion. What was the lie and was still the lie of abortion? Murdering a child in the womb? Oh, that's not a child. It's a blob of tissue. No, it's a child. They do the same thing. This is a shot across the bow. I'm telling you, I'm warning you, they're going to try to convince us that clones don't have a soul. Nothing to worry about. They're just like a crop. And it's just as much mass murder as children in the womb. Now this is growing adults outside the womb. It's sick. And you wonder why God's going to judge this. You wonder why he's coming back. And dare I say, it's a repeat of the days of Noah. And again, it's not just coming. Again, it's already being done. In fact, human cloning, not just animal cloning, human cloning started back in 2004. Did you know that? Yeah, watch this. This is nuts.
Well, big news this past week out of South Korea. Remind us what has happened there regarding the issue of cloning and what does it mean?
Well, South Korean scientists last week announced that they had been the first to create cloned human embryos. That is, human embryos that are made from a single cell taken from one adult. So you're talking about the beginnings of a person who would be, if allowed to grow into a baby, genetically identical to the adult who donated that cell.
How significant is this development?
It's been a difficult scientific hurdle to get across. A few different teams have been trying this, but I think more importantly, it's a major ethical hurdle that they've crossed. This takes scientists a big step closer to being able to create cloned human babies, which is something that a lot of people have pretty strong negative feelings about.
This is the first proof of a cloned human embryo designed to be transferred into the womb of a woman to produce a baby. It was created by a team led by this man, Dr. Panos Savos, a first-generation Cypriot American who lives beside a lake and a golf course in Lexington, Kentucky, USA. From the beginning, he was very definite about his ambition to clone a human being.
Let's get real, as we say in Kentucky. This is a problem that the world will face down the road. And just looking the other way ain't gonna make it go away.
In the eerie blue light of his secret lab, one of the world's most controversial scientists shows off his creation, cloned human embryos that are genetic carbon copies of their father.
Oh, my babies are doing well. They look beautiful.
Filmed for a TV documentary, Dr. Panayotis Zavos implants 11 of the embryos in 4 women, one of them British, in the hope of producing the first cloned human being.
Back in 2004. That's when that was, almost 20 years ago. Which, by the way, I thought was a very interesting coinkydink, the same time 20 years ago when Hollywood starts pumping out all these clone movie scenarios. Think it's by chance? I don't think so. Warming this up, getting us ready for what these guys are doing with their fourth industrial revolution, producing this time, not products, but people like products, bodies and minds. That's what they're doing. Now, what's wild about that is, I believe, I can't say thus saith the Lord, but could this be part of the, quote, technology and the tweaking of mankind, the going after strange flesh, going against God's design back in the days of Noah? Cloning? Could be. The reason why is because there's another interesting, horrible side effect of cloning. Not just we saw premature aging, diseases, abnormalities, deformities, death. But there's an interesting side effect. You know what it happens to produce as well in organisms that get cloned? Giantism. What? We've never heard that before. Yeah, let's take a look at that.
As there's already evidence, this technology is flawed. Even the much-publicized cloning procedure that created Dolly the sheep has proven to be fraught with problems, producing animals that die premature and at times painful deaths.
Does anybody in the right mind think suddenly now we're going to limit this to its beneficial purposes? We already haven't. We've already seen some of the problems. We don't know what we're doing with cloning. We are seeing giantism. We've seen these little clones become huge. We're creating monsters.
The Bible called them Nephilim. Nephil in the Hebrew, which means what? Giants. It's all being repeated, man, from a multitude of angles, which very quickly is leading to the, if you thought that was bad, this one. They're not just cloning humans, CRISPRing humans, making chimeric humans, half animals, half humans. They're reanimating humans, bringing people back from the dead with cloning procedures. Now, you can't just say that right out of the gates because that's pretty freaky, right? So first, just like the cloning procedure, they're getting us warmed up to this. And absolutely, Dr. Mick, it's the Jurassic Park scenario, which I'm sure that was a coinkydink that not only in the 90s, 2000, when that first round of them came out, but now there's been a reboot for several years, and they just keep that in our mindset that we're going to bring animals back from the dead. We might even create a zoo for you to come see them. Now, most people, again, kind of freak out. You're going to bring an animal back from the dead? But that pet scenario, cemetery scenario didn't work out too good. So here's what they do. They don't say, hey, we're bringing dead things back to life. That would freak most people out. So here's their new term. I'm just telling you. When you see this in print, this is what they're talking about. They call it de-extinction. Doesn't that sound better than bringing dead things back to life? Yeah. Already happening has been going on for many years, starting first, of course, with animals. Watch this. This is crazy.
I'm sure you've seen Jurassic Park or Jurassic World by now. Taking an extinct species genome and bringing it back to life is known as de-extinction, and we are closer to doing this than you might think. There are many animals from the Ice Age that scientists are talking about bringing back, but easily one of the more surprising suggestions they have is the saber-toothed cat. These massive cats were the ancestors to many of the big cats we have in the world today, with the exception that they had fangs that our cats could only dream of, and they were much more vicious. just its fangs alone were nearly a foot long, and it would use them with such deadly precision that prey rarely got away. Due to fossils found in the La Brea tar pits of Los Angeles, there is potential DNA that could be used to bring them back. The woolly rhinoceros. Some very well-preserved specimens have been found in the ice. Scientists have decided to take advantage of this opportunity and bring back megafauna from the Ice Age, including the woolly rhinoceros. In Siberia in 2015, a baby woolly rhinoceros was found completely frozen in ice. The rhino was found by a hunter named Sasha, and so the baby was named after him. Paleontologists were thrilled that they could maybe harvest some undamaged DNA from the tissue. After some research, it was discovered that the baby rhino was only 3 to 4 years old when it died. It became frozen in the river, perfectly preserved. The moa. The moa were flightless birds that lived in New Zealand. They went extinct about 700 years ago, and now scientists are very close to bringing them back. They were very tall birds, reaching 12 feet tall at times, and could weigh over a ton. However, with the arrival of humans in the 13th century, they were hunted to extinction. Now, researchers at Harvard University have assembled a nearly complete genome of the extinct moa thanks to a single toe bone from a moa at the Royal Ontario Museum in Toronto. They have used a new form of DNA sequencing that could revolutionize the field of recovering ancient DNA, the woolly mammoth. The woolly mammoth has been documented and studied immensely ever since the first bones were found by modern scientists. And so it should come as no big surprise that there are many scientists trying to bring back this massive creature. The woolly mammoth roamed across Europe, Asia, Africa, and North America during the last ice age. Many samples have been found frozen in ice with well-preserved DNA. The Tasmanian tiger. Also known as the thylacine or the Tasmanian wolf, this animal was the largest carnivorous marsupial to live in modern times. This creature was the apex predator of its ecosystem on the island off of Australia. It would hunt all kinds of animals with lethal intent, which actually led to its downfall. The settlers of Australia didn't like that this creature was eating their livestock, so they would actually put bounties on its head, and many, many people were happy to take that up. Regardless of this, a group of scientists are actually working together to bring the thylacine back to life. And ironically, it's Australian scientists who are trying to do it. They have a secret weapon of sorts that they're hoping helps their crusade. They actually have a baby thylacine preserved in alcohol since 1866. While bringing this animal back might not be the best idea, animal parks and zoos are willing to pay whatever it takes to be the first to get their hands on one of these animals brought back to life.
You know, exactly like the premise of the Jurassic Park movies. Not just bringing back animals from de-extinction, bringing them back to life, so to speak, back from the dead. But what? We'll create parks out of them. And you'll pay money to come see these. Isn't this weird? Not coming, it's already being done, right? But it's a good thing that they're not going to try this with humans. What's the pattern, folks? With cloning technology, it's always what? Animals first, then guess who's next? Humans. And I quote, they even admit it. Watch this. Definitely the most controversial we have is the Neanderthal. The idea of resurrecting this species of humans evokes the most heated debate. While cloning them would be very enlightening, it could also be quite unethical. In any case, bringing the Neanderthal back would be the easiest task of them all because scientists already have a map of its genome. It's not a question of whether or not we can, but if we should, and I quote, humans are going to be cloned just for the organs. You get old, and then you grow a new guy out of yourself and just take your brain out and throw it into a new body, which is exactly the premise of this movie. Again, conditioning us ultimately of the transhumanist Klaus Schwab's goal of producing bodies and brains is so that when these elites get old, about ready to die, they could transfer it into a new, young, fresh body. Hollywood's out there, folks, been preparing us for 3 years. Slowly but surely, it's called soft disclosure, getting you psychologically prepared for this reality. Okay, but again, unfortunately, it's not just a movie premise. They've actually not just been cloning humans, they've been cloning dead humans, including dead babies, since 2004. Did you know that? I didn't know that until I did the research. Watch it. And people are lining up for the service. Watch this.
Dr. Zavos adapted a standard cloning technique for his human patients. He first took an egg from the mother and stripped out the nucleus containing 99.9% of her DNA. He then took a skin cell from the father and extracted the genetic material. That was injected into the empty egg and given a jolt of electricity to form a cloned embryo. Within a matter of days, the embryo would have grown into a ball of 32 cells, which Dr. Zavos implanted into the mother's womb.
I think we have three very good embryos that could be in utero today, and that if implantation is successful as well, and the pregnancy is maintained, as we say in the U.S., we have a home run.
Dr. Zavos also reveals he's produced cloned embryos from three dead people, including Katie, who died in a car crash. Dr. Zavos has vowed to continue his work. He says more than 100 patients have contacted him in the hope of having a cloned baby.
You admitted you're not just cloning humans, but cloning humans that have already died back in 2004. What else are you doing that we don't know about? I mean, that's what you're going to admit in public 20 years ago. What else are you really doing? I mean, you've already got a cloning factory in China that we haven't heard about, but it's out there if you look. That's just animals. Do you already have cloning factories of humans that we don't know about? Like that Island movie? The fourth industrial revolution, the new product, this time, will be producing human bodies and minds. They told us. We just weren't listening. Oh, by the way, side note. You ever wonder why Hollywood is coming out with a plethora of zombie movies? Because the Pet Sematary scenario, which I don't recommend. I've never watched that show. I don't recommend, but you can get the description of it. It wasn't just that the pet cat came back and it didn't go well. He did it to his dead daughter, and it didn't go well. That's what these guys are doing right now. Now, as we close, real quick, I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, but now you look at this technology, bringing supposed dead things back to life. I wonder if that's part of the technology that will come into play with this verse, speaking of the Antichrist and the seven-year tribulation. Revelation 13:12, he, the false prophet, exercised all authority of the first beast, the Antichrist, on his behalf, and he made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, the Antichrist, whose what? Whose fatal wound had been healed. And these people are amazed. They say, who is like the beast? Who can make war with it? This guy's incredible. He takes a fatal head wound, and then all of a sudden he seems to come back, and it's like, no wonder people worship him. He's like a god. He just keeps going. You can't take this guy down. Is there any technology on the planet that could give the appearance of somebody who even takes a fatal head wound? You like JFK, but he died. But somebody, a political figure like the Antichrist, taking a fatal head wound, and then he comes back all of a sudden. Is there any technology? Yeah, we could have looked at it. I'm not saying that's the Lord, but it's something to consider. That's what happens in the seven-year tribulation we leave prior. It's all coming to pass, folks. And again, that's why Jesus said this, as it was in the days of what? Noah. This is a repeat of the days of Noah's day. They're going after strange flesh. They're tweaking God's design on a multitude of angles. So it will be, not maybe not my, at the coming of the Son of Man. It's going to happen again. We're seeing it happen, the days of Lot and the days of Noah. At the same time, God judged it once before. He's going to judge it again. But praise God, he also said this, Christian, you're not headed for judgment. Jesus Christ took our judgment. He took our punishment in his place. Praise God for that. So what we have to look forward to is not the Antichrist, not the seven-year tribulation, not God's wrath, not judgment, not hell. Jesus has saved us from all that. So all this is signs that our departure is near. That's what he said. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up. Your head specifically, because your redemption draws near. We're out of here. Amen. All this information, as freaky as it is, as scary, it seems like it gets worse each week. Would it really translate for what it is? What is it? What is God doing? Church! I'm not going to tell you exactly when I come back at the rapture, because I know you. You goof off to the very end. And then clean up your act like, oh, I was really serving Jesus. But I love you, because you're my bride. I'm going to give you not one. I'm going to give you a ton of signs it's getting close. That's all this is, folks. Amen. And God's watching what these guys are doing. And he's coming back. and he's going to put a stop to it just like he did last time. But for you and I, I'm not concerned with that. I'm just looking up and going, as freaky as this was, God, cloning, thank you for another reminder that my departure is soon near. And I need to finish strong as a Christian. Amen? That's the whole point. But if you're here today, I don't know how hard you can fool me, but you can't fool God. God knows who the fakers are. If you're here today and you're not saved, what in the world are you waiting for? This is not a joke. We're seeing the repeat. God's giving you an opportunity, but today may be the last day before the rapture. We don't know. Get saved now. This is not a joke. Receive God's mercy, not his judgment. Amen? Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. And for being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us his son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because of they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive his pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what he was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.